ולכות הלכס, יורדיה חלק שני, הלכס מילה, הלכה היי, פרגריף טס. We dedicate the learning today לעילוי נשמס, אלכסנדר זושה ברב אברהם יוסף, and ינטה פרדל בס רבי שואריה, הריני כפורס משקובו, and for a complete רפואה שלמה for all those that need it, בסרח שער חול ישראל. Now, Rav Nosson Zal goes into the topic of the requirement to give a bris milah to an eved kanani. During the olden days, when the Jews were able to own slaves, and there were all kinds of laws about if a Jew owned a Jewish slave, an eved ivri, versus an eved kanani. Here we're talking about eved kanani, a non-Jew from those nations where the Jews were allowed to take them as slaves. V'zeh b'chinas mitzvahs milas avodah. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand why we're required to give a bris milah to an eved kanani. Ki ho eved hu kinyan kasboi. Because these avodim were acquired with money. A person bought them with money. It's a monetary acquisition. Al kein mechuyav lemuloi lahavir ha'olah mi kinyan kasboi. And therefore, we're required to give him a bris milah, to give a bris milah to our money, to something we acquired with money. Ki ikar mitzvah smila lahavir ha'orlo mipsar kodesh u'kedei lahavir u'levatel achiza zuamas hanochosh me'aguf. Because the main reason behind the mitzvah of mila, which is removing the orla from that holy flesh, is all about removing the tumah of the original snake from our body, from our entire body. Kedei she'yistaken haguf, so that our body will be perfected, will be corrected. V'yeh kli mukhshon u'mukhan lekabel or hazrichu shel roshim habitul. And our body will become a vessel that's capable of receiving and retaining that light that a person receives when they're coming down from that bitul that we spoke about. He called b'riyas ha'odam hoya begin d'ishtamay doimlei. Because the entire purpose of the creation of man was so that man should be able to get to understand and recognize Hashem. These three words here are very important. This is the answer that the Zohar HaKadosh gives as to what is the purpose of man. The purpose of man is begin the Ishtamoy Doin Lay, that we should be able to achieve recognition of Hashem. Lodas ulahakir oisa yizborach. To know and recognize Hashem everywhere, all the time. V'ikar hayidia mimenu yisborach nimshach halidea bitul anal barotzi v'shori. And the way that a person achieves real knowledge of Hashem is by going through this experience of bitul, by being able to detach and disconnect themselves completely from this world and go up to that incredible high place and come back down and bring down a new realization and awareness and recognition of Hashem. Shalidei horishimu hanal, as a result of the imprint that's left from that beetle, from that trip upstairs, meiren lahadas, the person went up to that place called Keser, but you can't stay there. You can only be there. When the person comes down, he brings that light down into chachma and bina. He brings some of that light down. Meiren lahadas keshem elokim. He shines into his brain, into his das, a realization that Hashem is real and Hashem is everywhere. V'chuloi toiv, and Hashem is all good. Even that which before I might have thought looked like it was bad, the person comes to a realization that it's all good because he went upstairs to a place where it was all good. He saw that what down here looks like good and bad, when you go up to the source, it's all good. It's all oneness. And echod is bigematria ahavot. V'kimavura b'soif ha'toyra now, as Rabbi Nizal speaks about this at the end of the chapter on the Kutimran that this halach is based on, chapter 65, Al Maimar Chazal, regarding the Gemara at the end of Taimis, where the Gemara says, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasois Mochoy Letzadikim Losid Lavoi. There's going to come a time in the future when Hashem is going to make a circle, a dance in a circle for all the Tzadikim, V'chol Echod Mare Be'etzboi, and each and every one of them is going to point with his finger and say, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Loi. This is the Hashem that we were praying to all the years. This is the Hashem that we were hoping. Nogila v'nismacha b'shuasoi. Let us rejoice with the salvation of Hashem. U'mishom kol ha-Torah nimsheches kanal. And it's from this beetle that all the Torah comes down. V'ikar klal kol ha-Torah v'amitzvois u'kedei l'kadesh ha-guf. And one of the most important reasons for the entire Torah and all of its mitzvahs is to make us, to turn us into holy people, to be able to make that our body should become holy. So that our body, we should become a vessel that qualifies to be able to receive that light of the Rishim, or that light coming down. Because when a person's body is damaged as a result of a sin, that person will not be able to do this beetle properly. And even if the person will push themselves, the person did do sins, but so what? And now I want to be religious. And now the person is going to push themselves to do this beetle as best as they can. They'll only be able to hold it for a very short period of time. And when this person will come back down from the beetle, that person's body, that person's brain and body will not be able to receive that light that's coming down, machmas pegomoi, because he is damaged, because there's a hole in his cup. And then what happens is that Rishim leaves the person immediately, and the person forgets Hashem. They forget that it ever happened, and they forget about Hashem. This is why Hashem gave us all the mitzvahs of the Torah, because every mitzvah person performs, the person becomes holier and better. That person's keli becomes better and better. So that we'll be able to receive that Rishim. When we come back down from that high, we're going to be able to receive it. And to attach it to ourselves solidly, and thereby be able to remember Hashem always. Remember, that's the opening line in Shulchan Aruch. The opening line Shulchan Aruch Orachaim, the Ramos says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid Ze Klal Godel Batoyrot. That I should always be aware of Hashem across me all the time, constantly. That's a very, very important rule. And here Rav Nosson is telling us how a person prepares for that. The way you prepare is by learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvahs. That'll make you holier and holier. And that'll prepare you for this beetle, for this process, that when you want to do this, when you want to disconnect yourself completely from the world and close your eyes and feel totally, and only Hashem, there's only Hashem, nothing else. You're going to go to a very, very high place, and you'll be able to be there for a certain period of time, let's say during Shmon Esrei, and then come back down afterwards. And even though you're leaving there, but you're bringing back with you an imprint, a reshimu from that light. And with that reshimu enables you to bring new Torah into your life, new revelations of Torah, or to have a whole new respect and love for Torah, and to be able to get to a level of awareness of Hashem 24/7. Just like we said, it's interesting, this fits beautifully with what the Chido says. The Chido Zal, one of the greatest of the Sephardic rabbis in the 1600s, he writes that there's a pasuk that's very similar to that pasuk, Shivi Seshem in the summer. The pasuk says, Bechol derochecho do'ehu. Know Hashem in all of your ways. Be aware and conscious of Hashem in all of your ways, in everything you're doing. Chido says, how do you get to such a level when there are so many distractions? How is it possible? he says the first letters of Chol Yorechecho Da'eyu spell the word Bodod, Hit Bodedut. Bodod means alone. What does alone mean? Alone means take out all of those wires. Alone means that beetle, his spleitidus, real his spleitidus, which is when a person closes their eyes very tightly and they shut their phone, they detach totally from this world for a period of time. Rabbi Nizal recommended the greatest that person is a person who could do this for an hour. That's phenomenal. If a person can do it for 5 minutes, each person on their level, That's this, to try to achieve this beetle, this nullifying. What is beetle? Rabbi Nizal explains in chapter 52 in Likud Imran, that what am I doing in my espiritus? I'm reviewing all of my faults, all of my taivus rois and midas rois, and I'm spending a couple of days to get rid of this, to get rid of my kas, and a couple of days to get rid of my gaiva, and a couple of days to get rid of my taiva sachila. I'm being mevatel, all my negativity, one by one, going down the list, until I become nothing. Meaning I've gotten rid of all the negativity, all the bad, and now it's just Hashem, The Alkei, that's this velizgor bo yizborach tomid, to remember Hashem all the time. This total awareness and recognition of Hashem. Now, who is he talking to? Is this me? The Alkei be'emes iker shleimus hasogas of pus yizborach zoichin lak hatzadikim hagdoilim. And based on these requirements, The only ones who really achieve the highest level of recognition of Hashem and understand Hashem are the great tzaddikim, shekitch latzman koroi, who have purified themselves properly, totally. V'sosmu v'otzmu eneim echezu dayama legamri, and they have closed their eyes completely to all the foolishness and all the diversions and all the negativity of this world. V'heim nekiyim u'kedoshim u'prushim u'muvdolim mikol taivas olam hazeh. They are pure and holy and totally separated from the type, from the materialistic desires of this world. Afilu shel heter, even the permissible things, even there, they abstain as much as possible. They limit it as much as possible. Ad tachlis kitzei achroin. And they've taken this to the furthest possible level that a human being can take it, that they can possibly take it. It's interesting. Just yesterday, somebody was asking me about this. Somebody was asking me a question about purifying himself and about Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lecha. How can you say that when we say Hashem wants us to enjoy life? You know, and here Rav Nosson Zal is addressing this, that there's different levels. There's levels and levels of what's permissible. True, it's permissible if you want to be. If a person wants to get, again, a person takes a test, one person, it's enough for them to get a 65 on the test. I passed. And one person is looking to get an A. And another person is looking to get an A plus. All kinds of different levels. V'rak heim zoichen la'soga selakus alidei horashimu shalavitu. And it's only these greatest tzaddikim that are zoiche to a super high level recognition of Hashem as a result of the Rishim from the beetle. You know, they do machmashedufom zach ma'oid ma'oid, because their body is so completely pure, lekabel oyer horishimu v'shemus koroi, which enables them to be able to receive this light of the Rishimu fully and properly. So then, 1 second, what about the rest of us? Avla shenisporach chomal oleinu. However, Hashem had pity on us. V'nosan lanu es ha-toyra alidei Moshe, and he gave us the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. Shalidei zeh yochol kol echod lizkor b'Hashem Yisborach. And that's what makes it possible for every single one of us to remember Hashem, to be conscious of Hashem, alidei sheyekayim mitzvah ha-toyra al kol ponah, by at least trying to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, getting up in the morning, washing my hands, going to the bathroom properly, and then getting dressed, putting on tzitzis, putting on tefillin, going to shdavening with a minyan, a woman doing the mitzvahs that she's supposed to be doing. All of this purifies a person's body, ויוכל לקבל איזה הסנויצצוס מהזריחו של הרשימו הנ"ל כפי מדרגוסוי. And this enables us to be able to receive a little bit of that super high light, that light of the Rishimu on my level, each person on their level, kifi kiyumo yisatoira, based on the degree that that person fulfills the Torah. Va'ayim yisev ha-mokam achar, Rav Nosson Zal says, take a look in Orach Chaim, in Hilchas Tfilas Arvis, Halacha Dalet, paragraph Zion, where I spoke about this over there. V'zeh b'chinas mitzvas milah. And now this takes us back to the mitzvah of milah, circumcision, shehi mitzvah rishona, which is the first basic mitzvah that's performed on a Jewish boy, shehi lehavir ha'orla, which is to remove the orla, shehu zua masanochosh, which is that tuma of the original snake, kedei shegucha lekasher begufoy oir harishimona, which is preparing that person to be able to receive that light of the Rishimu from the beetle. Because again, the child is going to close his eyes tightly when he experiences the pain of the bris. The child is going to experience that beetle, and he wants to be able to receive the Rishimu. Removing the orla is a major step in the right direction of starting to get rid of my tumma, get rid of the things that I need to get rid of. And again, this is a very important basic, if we want to make Yiddishkeit as simple as possible, Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 25 in the Likutei Moharan presents it as two steps. Step number one, get rid of evil. Step number one, there's medame, got to get rid of your medame. Step number two is climbing a ladder, that you start from the bottom of a ladder and you're working your way up. You're climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. It's not a once in a lifetime thing. Every day a person's getting rid of the evil. How? Going to the bathroom is one of the forms of getting rid of the ra, the tumor, and washing one's hands. And then mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why on the holiday of Chanukah, Chanukah means chinuch. Chinuch means basic education. Chanukah is about two mitzvahs. Number one, get rid of the Greeks. Wipe out the Greeks. Number two, light a candle, another can't keep increasing the candles, increasing the light. Questions. How is it possible to eliminate one's kas in a couple of days? You're right. I exaggerated. It could take a couple of years. A person can probably do this in the safe environment of their hispoidus, but is this going to help if something triggers them afterwards? In their regular life. A few minutes ago, before this shiur, I had the privilege of learning Sefer Chassidim with a close friend. And we learned there, one of the things that he says there is that there are three ways that you can tell the humility of a person is only when they have an occasion to get angry. When something happens to really make a person very, very angry, and you see that the person doesn't start screaming at the top of their lungs. They don't start, but rather they're quiet. Another person would have exploded and done it. The person accepts it quietly, and then you know that they're really humble. So it's true. It's true that is it that during his hispoedus, sometimes a person feels like a malach, or at any time, on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, on Tisha B'Av, we're fasting, we feel like angels. And then the next day, my Yetzirah is back and I'm doing all kinds of mistakes. It's a lifelong battle, and it's a process. It's a process. And a person has to do, each one of us on our level, has to do the best that we can. Hashem doesn't expect me to be Moshe Rabbeinu or Avraham Avinu, but Hashem does expect to see me try to be the best me that I can. Any other questions? Bezehu b'chinas mitzvas milah savodim. And now we're going to understanding the mitzvah of giving a bris milah to an eved, shehu kinyan kaspoi, which is something that I acquired for money. Edei lahavir ho'orlo zua masanochosh hanechas b'feizu d'hayalma mikinyan kaspoi. Here what I'm trying to do is to remove the orla, that tumma, the snake, which is attached to all the materialism of this world. I'm trying to remove it from something that I acquired with money. Ki ikar zua mas hanocha, shehu chesu d'hayalma, nis'aches b'yoyser b'hamomay. Because you want to know where all the taivas and all the negativity of this world attaches itself to most? It attaches itself to money. Ki hakesef yanes hakol. Because it says in Koheles, money is everything. Money takes care of everything. V'shom kluin kol ha'havolim v'hachemdois shohev lei olam hazeh. And in money is found and is included all the foolishness and all the desires, all the materialistic desires of this world. It's all in the money. The money is the key to being able to buy all of those, all the pleasures of this world. 2 o'clock. Ki bahamomoy nechozin kol halametes melochois shenim shechu micheto domarishon aide etzas anochosh. Because let's turn the clock back. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and Hashem issued 39 curses, 10 to Adam, 10 to Chava, 10 to the snake, and 9 to the earth, Arur Adama, those 39 curses all went into money. How is that? Because it says over there, Be'itzavoyim toichalena, with depression, with struggle, with difficulty, you will earn your livelihood. That itzavoin when it is in the money, the 39 acts of work that a person does to acquire money to support themselves. V'alkein shom ikar ho'asiyah v'ho'avdus, and that's why in money related to money is where all of the asiyah, the action, and the slavery. Person, I'm a slave to my job. I'm a slave to my Shehem klal kol halametes melochos. That's these 39 acts of work. Shehem hahepech mehabitul hanal, which is the opposite, the exact opposite of that beetle, where a person detaches totally from the physical world, from material, everything materialistic. The habitul hu levatel haguf legamri, because this beetle means nullifying and negating, shutting down the body completely, where the person doesn't have any physical, materialistic feelings at all, even things that are necessary, even the most basic needs. Person doesn't have to go to the bathroom, they don't have to sleep, they don't have to eat. When a person's in this beetle, they've detached totally from the physical. To the point where the person isn't moving their eyelids and they're not moving their lips, and no part of their body is moving. Here, Rav Nosson Zal is giving us a definition of beetle, what we're talking about here in beetle, a level of total, what some people call this meditation. They define meditation as beetle. Rav Nosson's definition of meditation is beetle plus speaking to Hashem at that time. Not just being in this trance, in this total negativity, but then using that to open up my mouth and speak to Hashem. And all of the activity and the slavery of the 39 acts of work, which are all found in the desire for money. That's the exact opposite of this beetle. This beetle is total spirituality with no physicality and no materialism. Money, the deep connection to money is the exact opposite of this. V'alkein tzrichen lekadesh beyoyser halametes melachos, and this is why Rabbi Nazal teaches us in Likutei Moran in several places that a Jew who's going to work, a Jew who is involved in this world, has to try to sanctify and purify those 39 acts of work to make sure to do them according to the standards of the Torah and thereby elevate them to be the 39 acts of the Mishkan, which were building the Mishkan and operating the Mishkan. In order to remove from these 39 acts of work the tumah of the snake that attached itself over there more than anywhere else, so that it shouldn't block us from being able to experience that beetle and being able to attach that reshimu to my heart, Ve'ez sheshav ma'bitul, when I come back down from the bitul, she'oz choizer u'mezgaber be'yoyser b'chinas chesu dayama. Because Rabbeinu Zal explained in Likutei Moran that when you're coming back down from that bitul, the Eitz Hara says, oh yeah, watch me. And he comes back stronger, much stronger, with all the olam hazeh, with all the materialism of this world. Kederech shnei anoshim hanelchamim zebozeh, like two people who are fighting against each other, when one sees that they got knocked down, they can do one of two things. They can give up or get really angry and come back twice as strong as they were before. Because they got this major knockdown, they're going to come back now 10 times stronger. As Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this, that when a person comes back down from the bitul, sometimes they find that the suffering becomes much heavier. So what do I do then? Ayin Sham, take a look over there in chapter 65. Ki hakol echol. Because all of this is really one. Ki chezu dehayalma. That term, the materialistic world around us, shehem havlei oylam azeh v'tavlisu, which is the foolishness, the nonsense of this world, and all the materialistic desires, heim ikar hayisurin shel hanefesh. That's the real suffering of the soul. Remember, there's two things. We're made up of two things, a body and a soul. And their diets are the exact opposite. The soul diets on fasting. The greatest nourishment to the soul is abstaining from everything physical, everything materialistic. The body diets on gashmius, food, money, physical pleasures, all of these things. They're both in opposite directions. So that when a person gets overly engrossed in gashmius, the neshama is screaming, ouch. The nefesh is screaming, ouch, you're killing me. You're killing me. You're drowning me. Umehem boim kol hayisurim shel haguf gam kein chas v'shalom. And that's what ends up causing all the suffering of the body also. When a person is overindulging in gashmius, when a person is getting totally engrossed in materialism, that kind of thing, you'd think that, wow, they're going to have more money, more pleasure. No, more money, more debt. And more food, getting hungrier. The food doesn't, it's like drinking salt water. You think that the Torah says this, that mar ben achosim mar bedaiga, and yesh lo mono roitzem osayim. The craving becomes stronger, chas v'shom. Al kein tzrichin lomo lesoevet. This is why we're required to circumcise the slave, shehu kinyan kasboi, who is my monetary acquisition. Thereby removing the tumah, the snake, from the servant, from the slave, shukinyan kaspoy, who is my monetary acquisition, sheshom ikar achizosoy. That's where the sitra achra is attached most. Because that will enable me to be able to receive that light when I'm coming back down from the bitul, and to be able to bind it to myself solidly, so that the orla, the negativity that's in my money, that's in my, won't block me, won't be an obstacle preventing me from being able to draw that reshim with that great light. Rav Nosazal is repeating this because the main place where the Yetzirah, the Tumah, and all the Gash attaches itself to is the money. And money means money and monetary acquisitions, all types of financial acquisitions. My car, my house, my all of these things. Sheshom Iker Ho'avdus. That's where the slavery, that's where the servitude is. V'alkein ho'eved chayav bekama mitzvos. And this is why a slave, an eved knani, is required to fulfill certain mitzvos. V'chol mitzvos sho'isha chayav es bohem, ho'eved chayav bohem. And the Gemara tells us in Krisus that all the mitzvos that a woman is required to keep, an eved knani is required to keep. Kitzorech lekadesh ho eved shukinyan kaspoi b'mitzvah satorah, because we have to sanctify the eved, which is my money. The Torah calls him kinyan kaspoi, something you acquired with money. I have to sanctify him with the mitzvahs of the Torah, ula toivloi, and to dip him in the mikvah, ula muloi l'shem avdus, and to give him a bris milah, not making him a Jew. It doesn't turn him into a Jew. It turns him into a legal Eved Knani. Makes him into an Eved Knani. In order to remove that tumah of the snake from my monetary acquisition, because that's where this tumah of the snake attaches itself to most. This also explains why a person has to purify. We know that meat in an animal, in order for an animal to be kosher, we have to shecht it, and then we have to remove all the bad blood. We have to salt it in order to remove all the bad blood from that, the negativity, the medame, as Rav Nosson Zal speaks about in the beginning of Yoredeya. And it's brought when it comes to money, you have the same process. Money is called damim. Damim is blood and damim is money. You have to kosher the money. How do you kosher the money? You put it in the mikvah? No. You remove the miser, you tithe it, you're removing the bad blood, in quotes, and you're being makadish that, you're giving that to tzedakah, you're taking away the zuam asanachosh, the negativity that would want to attach itself to money. Questions? So is it true that a slave is not treated as a person here, but just as a monetary acquisition? The answer is in this particular process. But the Torah gives us requirements. When a Jew has a slave, he's got to treat him better than himself in many ways. This isn't a heter to treat him like garbage. There's all kinds of requirements. But here we're being told that one of the ways that the Torah defines an Eved Knani is kinyan kaspoi. And kinyan kaspoi requires anything that a person acquires with money requires a tikkun. The money, because the money is the main place where the sitra achra attaches itself to, based on those 39 curses. Rav Nosson Zal wrote here, not even moving one's lips during this bitul. So how does one daven in thought alone? The answer is no. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in another place. There's something called chashmal. Chashmal in modern Hebrew means electricity. In Torah, chashmal refers to like the highest level light of kedusha. The Gemara in Chagiga speaks about this a lot, and it gives different definitions of the word chashmal. One of the definitions is, well, we split the world in two. Chash means silent, mal means to speak. Mila is a word, you know, to speaking. And the Gemara says there that there are angels which are itim choshois, itim amalois. Sometimes they're silent, sometimes they're speaking. Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal explain that the highest levels of his hispoedus are where a person starts off with silence. A person starts off with this bitul, this total shutting down of all systems, including the mouth, and does that for a certain period of time, and then pulls the trigger, and then starts speaking. Because again, after the just like we have Rosh Hashanah and you have Yom Kippur. Rav Nosson Zal gives incredible insights into this. We know that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called high holy days. It's days of tshuva. And we know that one of the most important parts of tshuva is vidui, confession. And we say Rosh Hashanah, the breastplate is especially Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. There's no confession in Rosh Hashanah. We're leaving out the most important part. How could that be? There's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah. There's no asham no bagano. There's no alfei on Rosh Hashanah. No, Yom Kippur. And Avinu Malkeinu isn't it? There's that first line, chatonu l'fanecha. The rest is bakoshos. So Rav Nosson Zal explains that again, the tshuva process requires two steps. When a person does something wrong and they say, I'm sorry immediately, it doesn't really work. In most cases, when a person does something wrong, the first thing is slam on the brakes and think and feel ashamed and embarrassed. Boishti v'nechlamti lahorim ponei elecha. Hashem, I'm too embarrassed and ashamed to lift up my face to you. Step number one is shame and embarrassment. And when a person is embarrassed, they can't speak. They're silent. Step number two, there's a requirement to apologize. It's not enough that a person's ashamed and embarrassed. They have to say, I'm sorry that I did this and this thing, and I'm going to try my best not to repeat it. There's a pasuk, Mechase pshov lo yatzliach. A person who covers up their sins will not succeed. If a person confesses and leaves, then Hashem will have pity. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, Rosh Hashanah is step one. Rosh Hashanah, we're blowing the shofar. What is the shofar? It's crying, it's koil without dibur. It's sound, but no speech. Crying, crying, crying. No, why aren't we talking? Because we're ashamed, we're embarrassed. This is step one of the tshuva process, that I can't speak. I can't speak right now because I'm realizing the magnitude of the things I did wrong. I'm realizing that I have to feel ashamed and embarrassed. Then 10 days of tshuva, and then we get to Yom Kippur. Now it's time to open your mouth and enumerate and go into detail saying what I did wrong, in order to erase all the specific line items. Here again, judgment starts on Rosh Hashanah and is completed on Yom Kippur. What about the fact that the Gemara says that there are three books, there are three groupings in Klal Yisrael? Tzadikim and Rishoim are signed and sealed on Rosh Hashanah. Wow. On Rosh Hashanah, exactly. Beinonim, the people in the middle, the people in the middle have till Yom Kippur to get their act together and to do tshuva, and Hashem waits until Yom Kippur. If they don't do tshuva by then, they're in big trouble. So then the Breslovers should leave out Yom Kippur, and they should leave out Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And we see they don't do that. We see the big Breslov rabbis observe Aseres Yimei Tshuva fully. They fast half a day during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and they're saying the extra prayers, the Shir HaMaalos Mimamakim and the Avinu Malkeinu, and all of those prayers. The answer is, everything is relative. Everything is relative. On a certain level, we believe that those who are attached to the tzaddik and those who are attached to him, receive a certain major, major tikkun on Rosh Hashanah. On the first night of Rosh Hashanah, after that first Myra of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Nazal said, I lead my people through. However, we continue praying. The next morning we come to shul, and we come to shul early, and we're praying, we're singing, and we're listening to the shofar. We're doing all the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah, and then we're going into Aseres Yimei Tshuva, because we know that there's still more. Why are we doing Tana Dibur? Because it's brought, there's a custom in that some of the Breslovers keep, Rabbi Nazal used to do this, that the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Zohar HaKadosh explains, is Dina Kashya. There are two levels of judgment by Hashem. There's severe judgment and lighter judgment. And we're told that on Rosh Hashanah, day one is severe judgment, day two is lighter judgment. And some of the differences in the prayers between the first day and the second day reflect this. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because it's severe judgment, and we know that the most dangerous part of the body in many ways is the mouth, one of the ways of dealing with that is Tainus Dibur, being careful not to speak at all on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, only Torah Tefillah. And not even any public lectures, you know, anything like that. Back to earth.
Prayer is not considered dibur.
It's not considered the wrong type of dibur. That's holy, holy dibur. The prayer is, even a person's hispoidus, that's okay. But it means no conversation with people.
Well, it says in the, they have their whispered prayers.
Yes.
So isn't that really what a prayer is supposed to be?
The answer is that's
one.
Wow. Question, is prayer supposed to be whispering or screaming? The answer is both. There's a time to whisper. The time to whisper is Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei is called Tefillah Belachash. Tefillah, silent prayer. Other than that, We're told that a person must hear, they should hear the words that they say. There's different types of whisper. There's a whisper that you can hear, and there's a whisper that you can't. That according to some opinions in the Zohar Kodesh, the whisper during Shmon Esri is where even you are not hearing, no sound at all is coming from your lips, not even for yourself to hear. The silent scream is when a person is standing among people, let's say, and they want to scream to Hashem, a person can do it. It's possible to do it. There is this silent scream where a person's putting all that power into the scream, but it's not going, it's going from the heart and chest and lungs and everything to the brain, bypassing the mouth completely.
Isn't that what the previous question sort of
was about? The answer is no. That's Shmon Esrei. I'm mouthing the words.
I'm mouthing the words. I'm having this task that I'm processing, and I need to pass this energy out.
Yes.
Isn't the advice in the books about the silent scream?
That's one form.
To utilize it there.
That's
to get rid of anger.
That's one form of it. Or if a person is in a place where they're not going to be disturbing anybody else. We want a real scream, not a silent scream. Real screaming.
In a is there more of a fetch? No.
There's the Zohar Kodesh mentions that there's 10 different terms that are used in the Torah regarding tefillah. Sa'aka, za'aka, there's 10 flavors. Question, is the beetle to money described here as the same or different from the non-attachment as taught by other religions? I'm not so knowledgeable in the other religions, but I believe yes. Again, he has the book on meditation giving the different versions of it. What is the tikkun of one's wife? She's been mentioned in the same line as the slave. He receives a tikkun with his bris milah. What about her? The answer is through the mitzvahs that she performs. The mitzvahs that a woman performs. Nida, the laws of Nida, the laws of Tznius, the laws of Chala, all the mitzvahs that a woman performs, those are the mitzvahs that those are her tikkun. Tefillah, paragraph Yud, V'alkein, kishenimoil ho'eved shel kohen, mutar lecho betruma, u'bechose v'shoik, mashe Yisroel bi'atzmoy osur bo'i. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to address a tremendous chiddush, that if a kohen owns an eved Kanani, and that Eved Kanani has that bris milah, that Eved Kanani has certain privileges that a Rosh Yeshiva doesn't, that a rabbi doesn't. If the rabbi is a Yisroel is not allowed to eat truma. A Yisroel is not allowed to eat the parts of an animal that are given to a Kohen. And the Eved Kanani is allowed. Because once again, Hashem has given us all of these mitzvahs in order to purify ourselves, in order to enable us to perform this beetle, to skyrocket all the way up there, come back down, and bring down this light, this reshimu. Shenucha lahakiroi, so we should be able to achieve a level of recognition of Hashem as a result of that light that we bring back down. And this is why a Jew is required to purify our eating, that there are certain things that are unkosher that we're not allowed to eat, shehem nevelos utreifos uminim tmeim shenechas bohem zuamas hanochash beyoser, where the tumah of the snake has attached itself to those foods in much more so, and therefore those foods are out of bounds completely. Whereby if a person eats those tray foods, the body becomes damaged, and the person will not be able to receive that light. And just like non-kosher foods are forbidden for this reason, on the opposite extreme, Osar aleinu gam kama dvarim kedoshim, Hashem has forbidden us regular Jews to eat certain holy foods, she'asur lechol, which we're forbidden to eat, Machmas ribui kedushosa, because they're too holy for us to process. Kigoin truma v'kodshim lezor, for example, truma or kodshim in the Beis Hamikdash, which a non-kohen is forbidden to eat. She'isuram hu kedei shelo yekabel hachiyas hanimshech haidei achilor v'b'chinas ribui oer shegom shiras kelem chasshom. The reason why that's forbidden to me is because my voltage is 1,000 volts. Those foods are 3,000 volts. And if I, who can only handle 1,000 volts, take 3,000 volts, it's going to blow. It's going to blow my fuse. Ki ikar hamshochas oir hanal ha'idei tikkun hakelim. Because remember, we said one of the main requirements in being able to receive that light is you have to have the proper vessels. Therefore, a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat those foods because it's too high voltage for us. Because a non-Kohen doesn't have the ability to draw that light and attach it to themselves. Because to us, it's too much light. Avul ho'eved shu kinyan kaspoi shel koyin, whereas this Eved Knani, who's not even a Jew, he's a financial acquisition of the koyin, yochoy lechol truma v'kotshim kemoy rapoy ha'koyin. He can eat truma and kotshim just like his master, the koyin, yihu nichlal boy, because he becomes part of his master, part of the Kohen. Me'achar shehu kaspoi shel Kohen, since he is the acquisition of the Kohen. Sheshom ikar gmar tikkun ha'kelim. And one of the main places where a person makes kelim is in money, financial things. Ki ikar tikkun ha'kelim nas nalidei shemekachin ha'momoin me'achiza zuha masanochosh ha'nechaz b'lamites melochot. Because one of the main ways that a Jew generates kelim is by purifying one's money, meaning one's physical things, one's food, one's house, one's car, all of the one's clothing. That's all mamay. That's all my money, my value. By purifying all of those things from the tumah of the snake, which attaches itself to the 39 acts of work. Yihakoyhanim avaydosam bebeis hamikdash ubamishkan. The Kohanim, their work, they didn't work in the work field. Their work was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Sheshom Iker Tikkun Kol Halametes Melachos. That's where the 39 acts of work were sanctified. Shemavur Mokhoshma, as we discussed in other places. V'alkein Heim Mechaprim Kol HaAvoinos. And that's why the Kohanim played a major leading role in helping us be forgiven for all of our sins, haboyim mizua masanochosh, which are the result of that tuma of the snake. V'ikar kaparasam alidei amomoyim. And how do they bring about this forgiveness? Money. Shemi shechot, a person who committed a sin, tzorech lohovi mimomoynoi v'kaspoi korban kefi achet. That person has to spend money to buy a korban, a sacrifice, based on what type of sin they committed. And by bringing that money, by making that donation, that helps the person get the kapara. Because the location on earth where a person can achieve the highest level of bitul is the Beis HaMikdash. The Shom Meir Heitev Oyer HaRashimanal. That's where this light of the Rashimu shines brightest. Ki Kabolas Richas Oyer HaRashimanal Ufi Kukifi Kedushas HaOdom VeHamokoyim VeHazman. Now Rav Nosson Zal is clarifying to us. A person's ability to receive that light of the Rashimu is dependent on three things: the person, the location, and the timing. All of these things are playing a major role in this. Shabbos versus weekday, a whole different level of bitul. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, going into being in shul, a whole different level of bitul. being at the Koisel Maravi, being at the Kever of Hatzadeh, a whole different level of Bitul and Rashim and all of these things. Al kein, therefore, ha'eved shehu kinyan kaspei shel koyein, the eved who is a financial acquisition of the koyein, yochoy lecho betruma bekotshin, he can eat truma and kotshin. Ki ikar shleimus ha'koyein sheyisakein ha'momo in mizua masanochosh, because the way that the kohen becomes complete is by purifying his money, his financial acquisitions, by purifying them from the tomb of the snake. At shekol hachafotzim sheboilam, shekulam klulam b'mamoin, yuchlu lekabel oir shimonal. So that all of a person's acquisitions, everything, again, clothing, house, money, swimming pool, car, all of those things, should be able to receive this light of the Rishimu. And that's the real completion of the tikkun. There's being misake in my body, and there's being misake in all my parts, all my everything that's part of me. Which again, the term money is an umbrella term that refers to everything I own, everything I own, everything that's mine. Baruch Hashem, another milestone. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain Ahavas Hashem. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into explaining Kriya Shema. What does it mean? Love Hashem with your whole heart and whole soul and all of your acquisitions. Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into discussion of that. And then he's going to go into discussion of next week's Parsha, Parshas Ekev. By coincidence, he's going to prepare us for the Torah portion that we're going to be reading the following week. To absorb what we're learning and understand it as well as we can and live it, live this type of life, which is good living, real good living. To the Gula Shleima, b'mehera b'meinu, amen v'amen.